It is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We get up to speed on developments and what you're watching for with help from Jesse O'Poyan, political reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And there's room for your voice in this conversation on state politics. Call in with a question, share your perspective along the way. It's 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jesse, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Glad to be back.
Good morning. So starting with our state's electoral maps, the state assembly passes a bill that supporters say would redraw election maps in an Iowa-style nonpartisan fashion. What are Republicans proposing here?
Sure. Republicans are actually proposing something that Democrats have proposed for a very long time. Both parties have actually had a chance to implement versions of nonpartisan redistricting over the years. But Republicans have obviously been in control for much of the last decade. And so what would happen here would be the nonpartisan legislative reference bureau would be in charge of drawing these maps. There would be a bipartisan commission that would advise them on the maps, and they could introduce up to three sets of maps with legislative input. And then at the end, if the legislature still wasn't on board after that third try, then the legislature could start weighing in and making their own changes.
Okay, so aligning pretty closely here to what Iowa does, this bill passed nearly along party lines. Republicans have controlled, as you mentioned, the state legislature for over a decade. Why are they supporting the plan now?
That's a great question. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said that he has heard a lot of input on this. There have been a handful of Republican legislators who have been on board with this effort over the last decade, working with Democrats on these proposals, and they were really leading the way on this. Republicans who came around to the idea said they've heard a lot of input over the years, and they're coming around. They're open to changing their minds. But we also know that this is happening while there are two redistricting lawsuits before the state Supreme Court. The state Supreme Court's considering whether they'll take them. And now that the court has a liberal majority as of August, there's some thought that they may be a little bit more open to redrawing the state's maps. And so there's a little bit of a theory that Republicans might be trying to get ahead of that, get around that, and implement this process instead, which they think would probably give them a better shot at retaining some favorable maps as opposed to letting it go to the state Supreme Court.
Okay, looking at the Democrats' response here, Milwaukee Representative Lakeisha Myers, only Democrat who voted in favor of the bill. Why are most Democrats opposed to the legislation?
Well, they're not necessarily opposed to the idea in theory. I mean, this is the bill that they passed is very similar to a bill that was proposed in 2015. Democrats said that it didn't include some of the changes that they've made to their legislation over the years. They are concerned that because the maps already favor Republicans, that they'd be just further enshrining the advantages that they have right now. It's definitely a bit of a flip-flop from what we've seen in the dynamics of the legislature over that last decade.
Do you know the sentiment in the Senate? How interested are Senate Republicans in passing a new map-drawing system?
We have not heard much from Senate Republicans. Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahue has been pretty noncommittal on this. Doesn't sound like they're pushing real hard to implement it. He said he was going to watch and see how things played out in the assembly. But it doesn't sound like there's much of an appetite at this point in the Senate to take this on.
Okay. And then when would new maps take effect under this proposal?
They would take effect for the 2024 elections.
Okay. We're talking state politics with Jesse O'Poyan, who covers politics at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can join in with your questions and your comments along the way. The number is 800-642-1234. Jesse, last week, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said he's consulting with former state Supreme Court justices on potentially impeaching the newly elected Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Where is the Republican caucus on impeachment?
Well, they don't really want to talk about it. That's pretty clear. this is an idea that's come up that if Justice Protasiewicz doesn't recuse in these redistricting cases, Robin Voss has indicated that that's something that he would be open to pursuing, depending on how feasible it is, depending on whether he actually can do it. But the sentiment among most Republicans has been either they hope it doesn't get to that point, or there is one Republican member of the assembly who has outright said he would not vote to impeach. But the rest have kind of said they're going to wait and see what's happening, or they haven't really weighed in on it at all.
Is there any visibility on who is advising the assembly speaker here?
He has not been open about that. He said that he doesn't want this to become a circus, so he doesn't want to share those names. Some reporters have confirmed that former Justice David Prosser is one of the former justices who's on the panel. Some justices have been ruled out, but we're not entirely sure.
When is impeachment permitted under the Wisconsin Constitution? What would rise to the level?
So corrupt conduct in office or committing a crime. And it doesn't really spell out what corrupt conduct is.
Okay. And then meanwhile, the state Democratic Party is spending $4 million on a campaign to discourage Republicans from going this route. What are the ads saying? What do you know there?
Well, it's a very unpopular idea if you look at a handful of polls that have come out recently. But, you know, the argument is voters elected Justice Protasiewicz with an 11-point margin. It's a pretty clear, especially in Wisconsin, where elections are very, very close on a razor's edge. 11 points is a pretty big, clear victory. And so, you know, the argument is that this is an attempt to effectively overturn, you know, the will of the people who cast votes in that election.
Is there any idea like where the ads are airing or where they're concentrating, where the rollout will be?
I have not heard details on that. There may be some out that I haven't heard of, but at least initially they didn't get into specifics on that.
And what are you watching for here from the assembly speaker and from Justice Protasiewicz?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
What are you watching for here as this unfolds?
You know, the big question, I guess, is whether she decides to recuse. You know, she has said that she would recuse in cases in which the Democratic Party of Wisconsin is a party in the case, and the Democratic Party is not a party in either of these redistricting cases. She's weighed in on how she feels about the maps. You know, if you can talk to folks who study judicial conduct and recusal issues, and they would say that a handful of cases on this have made it pretty clear that that's not necessarily committing or making a promise to rule in a particular way. So, you know, watching to see what she says about that, or if she says anything at all, or what just decides to do it. And, you know, I don't think Republicans really want to pursue impeachment. So I guess we're waiting to see if they continue to walk down that road.
Let's bring on a call. Saul is with us in Stevens Point. Hi, Saul. What would you like to add?
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
There's an important difference between the Iowa plan for redistricting and the proposed Wisconsin plan, and that is in Iowa, after several reconsiderations, if there's no resolution by the legislature, it goes to the court. In the Wisconsin proposal, if there's no consideration, it goes to the legislature, and I think that has the Democrats in a tither.
Saul, thank you for bringing that to the table. Jesse, is that basically the one outlying distinction here between the two states?
That is a key difference, yes. Assembly Republicans have been asked about that, so you know, the Iowa Constitution does spell out that the state Supreme Court's the final arbiter on the maps. Wisconsin's constitution doesn't include that language. So they've argued that, you know, it can't go that way. I guess the other argument that they've made is that redistricting cases tend to end up in front of the courts anyway in Wisconsin, if you can't reach resolution. So, but that is definitely, I think, one of the Democrats' key objections here is that that language is not included.
The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Jesse O'Poyne with us covers Wisconsin politics as we explore new developments and what's moving at the Capitol. You can join the discussion calling in with a question, sharing your thoughts. The number is 800-642-1234. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We touch down on the latest developments, explore political news that you are monitoring, and why. Our guide is Jesse O'Poyne, political reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And there's room for your perspective. Call in with a question. Share what's on your mind at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jesse, Planned Parenthood says it will resume abortion services in Wisconsin today. And rewind to 2022, the U.S. Supreme Court's overturning of legalized abortion nationally made most abortions illegal in Wisconsin. And here's Planned Parenthood CEO Tanya Atkinson at a press conference.
We are completely confident that it's been made clear that that the 1849 law does not apply to voluntary abortions. So we are very confident in that read, in that analysis.
Jesse, why is Planned Parenthood then restarting abortion services now?
So this ties back to an order that came out about a month, well, I guess about 2 months ago now in July. There's a case before Dane County Circuit Court challenging the state's 1849 law, and it has not been resolved yet. We don't have a final ruling, but Judge Diane Schlipper issued an order when she, in her denial of a motion to dismiss the lawsuit, indicating that this 1849 law does not apply to consensual abortions, but instead applies to feticide. So the Planned Parenthood is taking that as a signal as to how she is likely to rule going forward. And under that interpretation, they say they're confident and believe that they can legally provide abortions.
So where does this leave the 1849 ban then? Because lawmakers had passed in the 80s a law that said abortion was only a crime after a fetus was viable.
Well, that's what still needs to be worked out by the courts. And those two conflicting statutes are, well, they're not necessarily conflicting, but there's question as to which one applies at the end of the day. And we'll wait for her final ruling in this case. But it's, you know, very likely to make its way, whether it goes directly to the state Supreme Court or if it goes to an appeals court in between. I think we're, you know, still waiting on this to make its way to the state Supreme Court for final judgment.
Yeah, this is still being litigated. Will it land in the state Supreme Court? What are the indications here?
I think it's expected to. You know, abortion played a huge role in that election, and voters are, I think, anticipating that the court is more likely to be, I guess, friendly to providing abortion access based on that new liberal majority. Of course, you know, you never know how judges are going to rule, but that's been the thought. And I think that everyone is waiting for that to happen. And in the meantime, you know, Planned Parenthood has acknowledged that it's, you know, it's possible that something will change down the road, that an appeals court will, you know, overturn this, or that she will not rule the way that they're expecting them to, and they would follow the law in that case and potentially stop providing services. But they're going to provide for now while they can.
At this point, can a person be charged or arrested or, you know, subject to criminal prosecution for receiving an abortion in Wisconsin?
No, and that's been the case for quite some time. The person who receives an abortion cannot be charged. These criminal penalties would apply to doctors who are providing the service.
We're talking about state politics and developments moving in our state. Jesse O'Poyne, our guide, who is a political reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on another call. Wendy joining us from Sauk City. Wendy, what would you like to bring up?
Hi, I'm going back to the redrawing of legislative maps. And my comment is that if maps drawn up by a bipartisan commission are rejected, I believe it's on the third try, the legislature gets to put forth their version of legislative maps, what they should be. And if they vote on, they would vote on that. And if it passed with a simple majority, those would be the maps that would be used. What the Democrats say and what's done in Iowa, or what they say would they want, is that the maps would be passed with a supermajority, which would make it harder for the party in power to just push their own version through, regardless of what the bipartisan commission came up with.
Wendy, how do you feel about this development? What are you feeling about the proposal?
Well, I'm feeling that the change needs to be made. In essence, they would bypass any kind of bipartisan commission decisions by doing this, and the party in control would just be able to have their own way anyway, which right now, you know, because of gerrymandered maps, probably, Republicans have held control for a long time. But having to pass with a supermajority would make it more difficult to just ignore the bipartisan commission's maps that they drew up.
Wendy, thank you so much for calling in. I mean, Jesse, I'm thinking back to the governor's People's Maps Commission. What is public sentiment on this type of proposal?
It's overwhelmingly popular to have a nonpartisan redistricting process. And I do want to add, recent Democratic proposals have included that supermajority clause that Wendy was talking about. Now, Republicans amended the bill on the floor before they passed it, and they didn't add the supermajority requirement, but they did add a requirement that if the maps made it to that third round, they could only be approved with bipartisan support. Of course, that could mean just one vote from the other party, but I think that was sort of an attempt to move in that direction. But nonpartisan redistricting is overwhelmingly popular throughout the state. I think, 50 some of the state's 72 counties have indicated support for this in one way or another, whether through a referendum or a resolution, anywhere between, you've seen sentiment between 60 and 80% of voters are on board with this in one way or another.
We're looking now to a special session. Evers calling on state lawmakers to meet this week in special session. The governor asking the legislature to take up a bill that would use $1 billion of the surplus money to expand child care and paid family leave. What are Republicans saying they'll do?
They are not likely to entertain that possibility. I think we'll see what they've done in the past when the governor's called for a special session, which is gavel in and gavel out. They have introduced some of their own bills that would address some, or at least aimed at addressing some child care issues, but Democrats are not on board with those because they say they focus more on loosening regulations, and they're really looking to see Republicans get on board with what the governor's proposing.
Governor Evers' line item vetoes in the state budget this summer are leaving Wisconsin with a roughly $4 billion anticipated surplus. Is there consensus among party leaders on what to do with the surplus?
No, there is not. There's been the argument that can be used, like you just said, for some of these childcare and family initiatives. And Republicans have argued that this should be used to expand tax cuts. And there is no agreement.
There is no agreement as of yet, but there certainly could be more discussion. Looking at vetoes here, after passing the Senate along party lines, the Republican attempt to override one of the governor's budget vetoes next heads to the Assembly, the veto that raises public school funding for 400 years. Why are Republicans pursuing a veto override?
I think they are not on board with anything that is enacting a Democratic policy for the next 400 years. I don't know that we're going to see the Assembly take this up or not. They could have potentially done it last week and they didn't, but I think it's that 400 years that they take issue with.
Sure. In our last few moments we have together here, what will this week be like in state politics? What are you watching for?
Oh, we never know what the week's going to be like in state politics here. But I think you know, we're still, everything kind of ties its way back to the state Supreme Court. And I know you've got Megan Wolf on, but looking to see what happens with the Wisconsin Elections Commission is right up there.
Jesse, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Jesse Opoyan is political reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.